St. Bridget's Day, February the 1st, marks the start of Celtic spring, and we're new into the season of the Celtic goddess Bride, for we share with our Irish friends. Now she's awfu' good at heralding in the wakening up of the spring, and this may come as a big surprise to a lot of folk, but the sap is rising. This may be rising quicker in some places than others, but it is rising. And far better to tell us about sick matters, but our programme Gairdner, past curator at the Botanics in Edinburgh, our ain Davy Mitchell. And I'm sitting with him in his ain garden under the tree. And to begin with, we're speaking about the landscape in winter, starting with trees.
Oh, trees in winter are just magic, man. Imagine the landscape with no naked trees.
Trees are another big part of our legends and were folklore in Scotland.
The cultural significance of trees is interesting. It's a queer thing. Trees are not just as celebrated as much in Scots language and poetry as things like birds and mammals and wildflowers. They get a passing mention. Burns wrote about trees. He wrote about 60 poems that covered about maybe 17 species. And one of my favourites is called "On Seeing My Favourite Walks Despoiled." And it starts with the wonderful lines, "The worm that gnawed my bonny trees, that reptile wears a ducal crown." It's a direct reference to the Duke of Queensbury, who destroyed the woods of Rundrum Lanrig. And in the same poem, he notes, "There was a time, it's nae lang syne, when hanging beech and spreading elm shaded my stream sae clear and cool." Unlike his poem, The Mountain Daisy, it doesn't actually celebrate an individual tree to any great degree. The nearest it came to that was in his song, The Birks of Aberfeldy, but that's more about the place than the tree itself. But I tell you what, there is a wee song, a lovely song, that a lot of your listeners will know. It was written by Lady Caroline in Erin, ken the Rowan Tree.
Of course I.
What a passion she had for that. Oh, Rowan Tree, oh, Rowan Tree, they'll aye be dear to me.
We're sitting underneath a really bonny birch tree. Fit about the cultural element, the legends and the Celtic connections with trees. There must be a heap of them.
Well, it's queer. A lot of your Scottish connections and Celtic connections with trees actually originate in Ireland or from Norse culture, and they've been adopted here in Scotland. It's that Celtic thing. It goes all the way from France to Cornwall, right up through. But the nearest thing we have to it is the Ogham alphabet. It was sometimes called the tree alphabet. It's seen on Pictish and Christian stones here in Scotland, but it came from Ireland originally. And it's basically 20 different kind of stick-like symbols. Each yin represents a different native tree and has different meanings. And you can see examples of it today in museums and on standing stones and natural outcrops, as well as Christian crosses. And there's an awful lot of information about it on the internet. If you take the birch you were talking about there, the new, it was a traditional Celtic symbol about the awakening of new life. And birch twigs were used to part the celebrations for St. Bride's Day on the 1st of February. And St. Brigid, she was the Celtic goddess of rebirth. And in some parts it was known as the Rod of Life, and the bride and groom were asked to step over a birch pole as they went into their new home.
Wow.
And in the Ogham alphabet, it's dedicated to the moon, and it's seen as a herald of change. Then if you take another big tree that you'll all ken on big oaks, the king of the wood, practical and magical and long-lived and majestic.
Was that the most important tree for the Druids, you know?
Well, it was linked to the Druids and Druid culture and beliefs, but it's the most fantastic timber. It was used for building houses and ships and furniture and medicine. It was even used for feeding pigs.
Oak trees?
Aye, they ate the acorns, the mast.
Of course aye.
And in the Ogham alphabet, it was a symbol of wisdom and endurance. And then you come back down to the hazel. The hazel tree, it was respected by the Celts, and it was seen as a symbol of wisdom and knowledge and vitality. They reckon St. Patrick used a hazel stick to chase the snakes out of Ireland, so they say, according to legend.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Scotland, it was one of the 9 sacred woods that was used to start the fires of Beltane on the 1st of May. And for me, my best memories of Hazel's hunting up in Doonbanks as a boy with my father, looking for a nice, good straight bit to make us walking stick with.
But you've got a hazel across there, but that's a witch hazel.
Aye, that's an immigrant. We're not talking about that today. It's off a bonny, though, with the yellow flowers.
Bonny yellow flowers.
There was a battle of the trees. Aye.
A battle of trees?
A battle of the trees in Celtic mythology. I wonder if that's where Tolkien got the idea, because in Celtic mythology, the Alder is linked to Bran the Blessed, king of the Island of the Mighty. And in the Welsh poem, The Battle of the Trees, the wizard Godwin turns the Alders into soldiers to fight in his army. And it was the willow and the rowan that came late to the fray, and the Alder that was at the front, at the vanguard. And it's interesting, in the Ogham alphabet, it's seen as a protector of the heart.
But there's some folk fear the trees, isn't it?
Well, you can, woodlands and lanes can be scary places, but there's an awful good poem that reminded me when I was a bairn. It's called The Bogle.
Go indeed.
By W.D. Crockett. Okay, I'll just do a wee bit.
A wee bit.
There's a bogle by the boar tree at the lang lone heed. I canna thole the thocht of him, he fills my heart wi' dread. He skirls like a hoolet, and he rattles o' his beans. He gies himsel a guffosh to fricht wee bairns. He's never there in daylight, but against the gloaming fa's, he creeps along the heed rig and through the tatty shaws. Syne splurges through the burn and comes sprachling o'er the stains, and then curries doon aboot ahen the dyke to fricht wee bairns.
That's good acting.
Ah, but I think the best, see, that I like, for me personally, is another one. It reminds me of my first penknife and my father teaching me to make a whistle as a young boy walking along the banks of the Tweed. It's just called The Whistle. He cut a sappy suker fae a muckle rodden tree. He trimmed it and he wheat it and he thumped it on his knee. He never heard the chookit when the harra broke her eggs. He missed the craggit hern nabbing puddocks in the segs. He forgot to hoon the collie at the cattle when they strayed. Ah, but you should have seen the whistle that the wee herd made.
Can you hear that robin in the background?
He's just sitting up there on non-branch twittering away. He's waiting on spring, I know.
He's trying to tell us a poem, and that. A wee cracker, look at him.
That's the other thing about trees. They're not just there for us. They're there for a lot of other things. Trees are the lungs of the planet and home to millions of other organisms, and our lives would be an awful lot worse off without them.